This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Live and Learn on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Sumitra Selvaraj. Now, just last week, Malaysian Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad mentioned in his speech at the Social Wellbeing Conference 2019 that the demands of the current working world have evolved and that workers need to be creative, adaptable, agile, and prepared to expect the unexpected. He then admitted that these are traits that Malaysian youth may not have. So what good are campaigns and measures to boost employment if Dr. M is indeed right? What if youth do not have the traits to be employable? Do you agree or disagree with Dr. M's statement? Let me know via Twitter at BFM Radio or by sending us a WhatsApp at 018-789-8899, or you can call me at 03-7733-2900 to have a bit of a chat. Joining me in the studio today to mull over the answer is Kathleen Tan, a talent assessment partner from Leaderonomics. Hello, Kath.
Hello, nice to meet you, and nice for having me here today.
You are most welcome. Okay, now we're going to be talking a little bit about how to tackle the youth unemployment problem from a talent assessment perspective. So to kind of lay the groundwork, maybe you can start us off by telling me what the scope of your work is with Leaderonomics and how you go about it.
Right. So basically, at Leaderonomics, I'm part of the talent assessment team. Mm-hmm. And very essentially what that means is that we go in as third parties to different organizations and really to just take stock of what are their strengths and the development areas of their employees.
Okay.
And that can be done in certain ways, right? So we go in with assessment centers. We also have different psychometric tools, and we deal with a lot of human psychology as well. Mm. Now, what the results and the data we get, what is it used for, are for different reasons, right? And that can be for talent assessments, it's to be used for promotions and for talent identification, also just for the fact of development as well.
Okay, so you're all about looking at the employees within a company, looking at their strengths, looking at what traits they perhaps have.
Correct.
And then feeding that information back to the employers so that they can decide then how to perhaps best fit these employees into their job roles?
Correct, yes.
Okay, great. So what I want to then look at next is the fact that earlier on, as I mentioned in my intro, Dr. M actually says that Malaysian youth, he feels that Malaysian youth may not have the traits to be employable. Would you agree with his observation, or do you have a different point of view as to why youth unemployment is so high?
I mean, it's a tough question to tackle, but I would generally, on a whole, I would tend to agree with it. But I don't necessarily blame it on the youths themselves. Mm. In my opinion, I do think that one of the main contributing factors is that the times that we're living in is changing so fast, right? So one minute you're training for something, and the next thing, there are different things that are coming about, and there are different traits that are necessary for you to survive in the working world. You know, we're suddenly dealing with, you know, in this industry 4.0, there's all this artificial intelligence. And are the youths actually properly being equipped to face these things in the education system before they reach, you know, the inverted commas, the real world, and what they face in the working life as well?
Well, that's a good question. Are they being equipped?
I don't know about that. But I do think, in my opinion as well, I do think that this is not something that the youths alone are struggling with. I do think that, you know, there are grown adults out there who are also grappling with the fact of how do I change and adapt with the times.
Right.
And the new requirements that are needed of me in order to remain relevant in today's working world as well.
Okay, so in order to be able to help tackle this idea specifically of youth employment,
sure,
let's flip this around, right? So part of your job is to help employers assess talent in their workforce by identifying traits, right, that make somebody a good employee. Mm-hmm. So perhaps what I'd like to know is if you can share what it is that you know employers are looking for, so that perhaps we can trickle that down to job seekers so that they can prepare themselves, kind of putting the cart before the horse.
Right.
Okay. Or the horse before the cart. I'm not quite sure. So let's look at the broad question.
Okay.
What makes somebody employable?
All right. I think there are two ways to answer this, right? And I think the first point is I want to raise that you can't for sure no, because I think every employer will look for different things in a talent. A talent to one organization will not be the same kind of talent that another organization may look for.
Mm.
Now, that being said, there are key traits out there that you will find that tend to crop up along the way as key kind of traits in what is desirable in an employee, right?
Okay.
And if you look at different kind of reports that are out there, you know, looking at, you know, the World Economic Forums and the reports that are churned out even by, you know, LinkedIn and Forbes, you will find that the same kind of keywords tend to crop up. And I mean this by we're looking at things like agility, adaptability, creativity, critical thinking, even verbal communication. And these things you can't run far from.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking at what are the key traits, I would list these down as well.
Okay. And so when young people or when job seekers go into job interviews, are you saying that these are the traits that generally employers are trying to pick out in potential candidates?
I would say yes. You know, of course, we're looking at both the hard skills and also the soft skills.
Yes, right? Of course.
But provided, we're putting aside the hard skills,
yes,
functional-wise
for,
and everything.
For the benefit of this conversation, we'll put that aside.
Yeah, definitely, right. So I think for soft skills, yes, right. Communication is something that it's everlasting. Even from the beginning when jobs were first created and, you know, these things, communication is always key. And I think right now the focus is always about adaptability, agility. How fast can you pick something up that you may not know firsthand, but how quickly can you adapt to these kind of situations as well?
Exactly what Thun M mentioned in his speech as well. So we're going to take a short break now, but when we return, Kath and I are going to dive into what the traits of this employable person actually looks like in an office scenario. And if you'd like to join the conversation, please tweet us at BFM Radio, send us a WhatsApp at 018-789-8899, or you can call us for a chat at 03-7733-2900. This is Live and Learn on the Bigger Picture, BFM 89. Welcome back to Live and Learn on the Bigger Picture. I'm Smitra Selvaraj, and joining me in the studio today is Kathleen Tan, a talent assessment partner with Leaderonomics. We're looking at a statement that our Prime Minister made recently, just last week actually, in a conference, that Malaysian youth may not have the right traits to make them employable. Do you agree with Dr. M? Do you dare disagree? If you'd like to weigh in, please tweet us at BFM Radio or send us a WhatsApp at 018-789-8899 or call us for a chat at 03-7733-2900. So, Kath, before the break, what we did was we looked at a kind of broad strokes idea of what makes a person employable. And you mentioned that there were a couple of desirable traits. We're putting hard skills and knowledge aside for this, right? We're talking about soft skills. What is it that employers are looking for in their fresh graduates that come to them? So you mentioned agility, adaptability, and I think you mentioned communication skills as well. So I'd like to now maybe get you to explain to me in the course of your work, what do these traits look like? How do they present themselves in an employee?
Right. Okay. So I'll tackle communication first, right? That's an age-old term. Everyone's heard about communication. And I think that's something that has remained the same, you know, in years as well. You can be the best functional person in the office, but if you are not equipped with the right kind of communication skills, how do you converse with someone else? Or how do you sell your ideas to someone else who may not be able to understand what is it that you're trying to get across? You may face a lot of struggles in the workplace.
I can imagine even a simple scenario like in a meeting, right? You have a really brilliant idea.
Right, exactly.
And you want to be able to get it out, but you don't have the ability to be able to string words together. You have the words, you have the technical knowledge, but you don't have the ability to be able to communicate what it is that's swirling around in your head to your boss and impress them.
Yes. And sometimes it's not just to your boss, right? Sometimes it's getting your message out to the masses, to the society at large, who may not be equipped with the technical knowledge that you have.
Yes.
So then how do you lay it down in layman terms for them to understand as well?
I think
it's crucial. I think that's important.
And I also feel that this ability to be able to translate technical knowledge
correct.
Into what the layperson is able to understand is so valuable, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's good communication. So that's what a good communicator, even fresh into the workforce, a good communicator is somebody who's able to put their hand up and get their ideas across.
Yeah.
Okay. Agility and adaptability, are they the same thing-ish?
I mean, well, They're kind of interchangeable, okay. I would assume, All right? So what I would mean by this is, I guess, not having that sort of rigidity that you are so stuck in certain ways of doing things that you are not able to sort of relook at things in a different way, mm-hmm. right? So I was speaking to an employer recently, and I think one of the skills that she mentioned that she looks for in new hires is the ability to unlearn and then to relearn. And I thought that was, that's quite accurate in terms of adaptability and agility, right?
Okay.
It's not remaining stuck in your ways because you have been trained to do things a certain way. But in today's time, you really need to be able to unlearn how you've been doing things so long and then to relearn certain things that perhaps are quicker, are faster as well.
Okay, I'm really glad that you mentioned that because I've got in my mind this image of a fresh graduate who's out job hunting, right? Mm-hmm. And if you're saying to me that agility and adaptability, this ability to be able to unlearn everything that he or she has learned is something an employer is looking for, that's not what they've been taught at school for the last 12, 14 years of, right. of their formal schooling. So if you've only ever been through the school system and then you're going, and I'm talking about primary, secondary, tertiary, mm-hmm. which is more mm-hmm. or less the same here in Malaysia in terms of the rote learning and in the curriculum-based learning. If you've only ever been through that, and then you go straight into the job market, how are you expected to have these traits that make you a good employee?
Well, that's a key question that I think a lot of people are facing out there and people are questioning. How do we bridge the gap between what you've learned and acquired in the school system, which tends to be rigid, you know, don't ask too many questions, mm-hmm. keep your head down, ask maybe two questions and then, you know, keep quiet for the rest of the class. How do you bridge from that into the requirements and the needs of a real working world?
I'm hoping you can tell me.
Well, I mean, my personal take on that is that, I'm a big supporter of internships.
Okay.
Right. And I think that is a really good way for you to really get immersed into the working world mm-hmm. And then to see, all right, what am I lacking and what then do I need to up my game in, right?
Okay, so let me ask you this. I know in the course of your work at Leaderonomics, you're also in charge of the interns
yes,
at Leaderonomics, right.
Yes. right?
So, and you were an intern yourself once
yes,
upon
I
a
was.
Time
yeah.
at Leaderonomics. Okay, great. So that's a fantastic foundation for us to pick off this tangent of the conversation. Mm-hmm. When you have interns, and let's look at present day, right?
Yeah.
When you have interns coming in and applying for jobs and kind of wanting to be part of the Leaderonomics culture, in your experience, what are some of the main things that they have to unlearn very quickly?
What are some of the main things they have to unlearn, which I think sometimes they are so trained to follow instructions. Mm. I think that's one of the key things that I've picked out in my experience dealing with, you know, fresh interns out of school. They're so used to just give me the instructions, I will do it. They've also been trained to not ask questions.
Mm.
And that's something that is quite troubling, actually. So sometimes when I do have certain debriefs with them, you know, I do ask them, why didn't you clarify earlier?
Mm.
And their responses tend to be the same. And they're always along the line of, I was afraid that if I asked, I would look stupid. Or if I questioned why we're doing things a certain way, I would be looked at in a certain way. Or am I being a know-it-all? Would I be labelled as a smart aleck?
Okay. So let me ask you this. To paraphrase Orwell, not all internships are created equal. Different companies will have different types of internships.
Definitely, yes.
Some internships might end up hurting a candidate worse than, you know, more badly than when they first came in. They might not gain any skills that they wanted to be able to progress in the working world. So how can a young person who is worried about their employability mm-hmm. know where they should go for internships?
Okay, well, I do think that for someone who's going into the working world, I think it requires some sort of background research and hard work on your end as well, right? Mm. Knowing what is it that you are, what do you want mm. out of an internship, and can that internship place or company or organization offer you that kind of experience mm. that you're looking for? And of course, you will not be able to find all the answers anywhere at all. But doing some sort of general research about the company, what is it they stand for, what are their values and their missions and their visions as well, that gives you the kind of perspective as to, okay, am I going for the right company to intern in?
Okay, so We've been talking a little bit about the traits, desirable traits that employers look for in potential hires and employees in people coming into the job market. You've mentioned agility, adaptability, good communication. I want to move on to personality. Are employers looking for particular personalities when it comes to new hires?
They do. But then again, I think that comes to a very role-specific requirement. Mm. Are you going for a sales role? Are you going for something that's in business development? Or are you looking for something that's a little bit more technical? Mm. Then there are very different requirements as to what kind of personality traits would be best suited. And now, that being said, we're in this time where for someone who is a little bit more introverted, that doesn't close the door on certain things like sales. Mm. Things are very different from how it was back then, where someone would completely shut the door on a sales role just because they're a little bit more introverted and I'm quieter. And things are very different now. So,
okay. Mm. So then as a follow-up to that, what if I'm somebody who I find that my personality isn't suited to my work environment, but I still really love my job. And more importantly, I'm really good at my job. Okay. But my personality isn't everybody's cup of tea. Do I have to change in order to be considered a better employee? Better is in quote marks.
Yeah, right. But that's a very good question, right? So when I think about that question, I think I'll take it a step behind. Mm. And I think one prior question to ask is, what does this job mean to you? Mm. And it comes back to the notion of motivations as well. I do know people who get into their jobs for different reasons. So I know some people who are perfectly fine going into work. They get their job done and then they leave. And they're not bothered with mixing around. And that's perfectly fine, right? Are they a good employee? Yes, they get their job done. They're punctual, they're on time, they're responsible, but perhaps they are not the most extroverted person. They're not the life of the party, and that's fine. Mm. But however, my question is, if you do find fulfillment out of, you know, engaging with the people around you, going out for dinners after that and really relating with the people that you work with, mm-hmm. then perhaps there are some tweaks that you can do, right? And I don't mean a 180-degree change of going into a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde kind of situation. But what kind of things can you adapt slowly so that you are better suited to the work environment?
Okay, so you've sparked a really interesting thought in my mind, because what then happens is, if you get a situation where somebody really does enjoy the work that they do, but they find that more and more, while they like their work, they don't like their colleagues too much. Mm-hmm. This is something I find that a lot of young people don't seem to understand and realize when they go into the working world, that it's different in school. Mm. School, you have to get along with everybody. They are your classmates. You're kind of stuck with them for the next 12 years of your life, or 3 years if you're into a degree program. How do we teach young people that when you jump headfirst into a new job, it's more than just the skills that you need to garner? People skills is a whole different kettle of fish.
Yes, definitely. Whether or not there are ways or specific methods to doing this, I'm not too sure about that. So, I mean, I do still stand by the fact that I think internships or even little things like getting part-time jobs as well. I think some people underestimate how much you can learn from short stints like that. You know, getting the exposure beyond the schooling realm, and, you know, whether it's university or secondary school, getting out there and mixing with different people as well, you know, rubbing shoulders with different communities, people of different backgrounds as well, that gives you the exposure and the kind of skills that you will need along the way to deal with different people. And you will meet people that are nasty, people that you don't really gel with, but then how do you overcome that and say, you know, this is part of the role, it's part of the job, how do I move on with this?
Exactly. And you've hit the nail on the head with that, right? Because, you know, for a long while, as children grow up into you know, youth and into young adults, perhaps they're surrounded by a very small circle who in general like them. Their family says nice things to them. Mm-hmm. Their family's encouraging, even if they put up, you know, horrible pieces of poetry or artwork. Everybody says, my goodness, you're so talented. And then they get into the workforce and they realize that, oh dear, this is not what it's like at home.
Right.
Right. And so I want to move from that into this whole idea of self-esteem, which is something that a lot of young people struggle with. And I can imagine that those years, 18, 19, 20, 21, must be particularly difficult. It was for me. You know, you're going through a major transition period when you're moving away from the relative safety of structured environments such as school or university into, you know, wading into a murkier pond that is the working world. And if you're a young person who has perhaps gone for 4 or 5 or 6 job interviews and you've been turned away at each and every one, I can imagine your self-esteem will take a pretty big knock.
Yes, yeah? Most definitely.
So, you know, I would say that it's probably one of the biggest stumbling blocks for young people seeking employment. What are your thoughts on this?
Definitely, Kat? Definitely. Well, I definitely agree with that statement, and that link between self-esteem and employability is quite a strong one, right? I mean, you can just Google it and research will show you the kind of links that exist between these two factors over here. And unfortunately, I do think that it's sort of a chicken and egg thing, right? You go into an interview with low self-esteem and you tend not to get a job because they tend to pick up on it very fast. I think it's just human nature and psychology to pick up on a lack of self-esteem or poor self-esteem. And then you end up not getting jobs and you go for multiple interviews and you fail. And the more this happen, the lower your self-esteem falls, right?
Because
and
it's then a vicious cycle.
Correct. It's a loop that sometimes you can't get out of.
Right.
Yeah.
So what's the... Okay, from your experience, do you have any sort of ideas that you could share with us? Number one, how to break... If I am a young person job hunting at the moment and I'm struggling to break out of this loop, what I could do? And perhaps then, as you mentioned earlier, to take it back a step further and say, how do we help young people who are transitioning through secondary and tertiary school to build self-esteem?
Okay. Well, as someone who is in the business of, you know, talent assessments and hiring for interns as well, my biggest two-prong kind of approach is, number one, to take a step back and to sort of question, are you sort of applying for the right kind of jobs, right? Sometimes we are just going, you know, head first into the applying and we just go for interview after interview, but we don't stop to question, are we delivering, do we have the right kind of skills and competencies that the role is requiring?
Right.
And then sometimes it's just not a fault on your personality, it's just a wrong fit in terms of skills and competencies, right? Now, the next step I would maybe advise the youths who are struggling in this area is to really get feedback. I think sometimes, you know, we get ashamed of, you know, the failure of, you know, not getting a job quickly enough. The pressure is there. It's a competitive world. Are you getting a job? When's the next time you're going to get a job? You know, unemployability is on the rise. When do you get in?
But who should you be getting that feedback from? Because if you go and try and get feedback from your family members, especially encouraging, they'll say, no, you're perfect. You're wonderful. I don't know. It's those company people. They're idiots and they don't know. Right. I don't know
which
why
they're not
hiring
you. Which is a very valid point there. I think there are different people you could ask advice from, right? Number one is I would definitely for sure try to get someone who's trusted. Is it a friend? Is it an older mentor that you can trust for honest advice, right? But the second thing is I also find it quite useful to sometimes, if it's possible, ask whoever you went for the interview with for feedback. And I think if they are, you know, properly trained for development and HR, you know, this kind of policies and everything, they would actually be willing. You'd be surprised at how willing they are to give advice of why you didn't get the role, right? What were you lacking perhaps? Or what could you have done better? And, you know, certain youth will be surprised at how much input and how much information they can get out of these questions.
It's a tough ask, right?
It's tough. But I think sometimes if you are in that situation, you know, what harm can it do to sort of ask that question? I've had a lot of interns who ask me, how did I do in that interview?
Okay.
Putting the job aside, whether I get it or not, what could I have done better? Because it is my first interview.
Right.
Right. And you know, I mean, at Leadonomics, we're more than willing to give feedback and say, you know, you
constructive
could have, yes, feedback. Constructive all the way, right? What could you have done better in your next interview? Whether or not you get this job, it's a different thing. But what can you do better moving forward?
Because plenty of the traits that we mentioned at the beginning of this interview, mm-hmm. things like adaptability and agility, even good communication, they are not necessarily inherent traits. You can gain them.
Correct, correct. I think a lot of these things are developed, can be picked up along the way. It's mm-hmm. not something that is stuck in stone, that's crystallized along the way as you're growing up.
Mm. Yeah. So so that then kind of leads me into almost my second last question. We had a second part to that question that I asked you. We've addressed how to build self-esteem when it mm-hmm. comes to people who are in the job market. But what about children? How younger children? Maybe I'm talking about primary going into secondary, who are still kind of a little bit unsure about how to build their self-esteem up. What can parents do? What can these children do to help themselves?
That's a tough question. That's beyond talent assessments and ergonomics.
Okay,
but, you know, it generally is always about picking up what are their strengths, right, and capitalizing on them.
Mm. Right. So exactly what you were talking about earlier, Kath, we've just had a WhatsApp message that's come in. And this person, you know, completely agrees with you. I think it may not be quite fair to lay the fault on the youth. Mm-hmm. What would make them fear to ask? It could be very well the environment that they went through, the upbringing perhaps,
yes.
right? Who then provides this environment? The older and experienced generation who just used suppression to hide behind their inability to explain why. Religion never really teach any one of us to question. It's a fair statement.
Oh dear. Yeah, that's a very heavy statement to read.
But you can imagine, right, if somebody's upbringing has not allowed them the ability to, and it's not the fault of culture or religion.
Right.
Nobody's pointing a
yes,
finger here.
Correct.
This is one person's opinion.
Mm.
But if that's all you've known as to how to kind of be, mm-hmm. how do you break out of that and suddenly move from being this scared child to employable adult? It's a huge leap.
Definitely, right. And it's definitely not easy. I think that's a tough leap to make mm-hmm. and a lot of conscious efforts. And it's going to be a painful process sometimes. You know, change
okay.
is always painful.
It is.
Yep.
So on that note, your top tips for young people who want to bring the right employee traits to their first job.
Right. Well, my top tip would definitely be authentic, mm-hmm. be real. I've had so many discussions with the youth and the interns in the organization who say, how can I be authentic if I'm supposed to sell myself and be a great package to potential employers?
Right.
Right. How do I then balance that? And to me, my response is it's not always two different sides to a coin, right?
Mm-hmm.
It can go hand in hand. Being authentic means also taking stock of really knowing what are your strengths and also what are your areas that you may not be strong in right now.
Right.
And by that, you can also be very real with your interviews and your employers as well about what you can bring to the table and maybe what you need help in.
Mm.
Right.
And, yeah, and I particularly like your suggestion of finding a way of asking for feedback.
Right.
Even if it's maybe if you can't do it face to face, maybe to drop them an email.
Definitely, yes. You know,
say thank you for the opportunity.
Correct.
By the way, could you let me know what I could improve on?
Right. I mean, and coming from an employer perspective, that actually is something that, hey, you know, this person is actually really focused and intent on development, personal development and growth, right?
Mm.
And saying beyond a job scope and whatever I can get out of this, what can I do to grow from here?
Okay.
And that says something as well.
Thank you, Kath. I really appreciate
Thank
this
you.
Conversation. Thank you for helping me kind of unpack this issue of how we can get Malaysian youth to be a little bit more open to the idea that they need to be gaining new traits and new
right.
skills in order. Nobody expects them to jump from school straight into a job.
Yes.
They need to be equipped with the right traits. And I appreciate your insights on this.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. I've been speaking to Kathleen Tan from Leaderonomics, who has shared such valuable insights into how youth can gain traits to make themselves employable. If you missed any part of this interview, any previous Live and Learn segments, you can download the podcasts on our BFM app or on Spotify. You've been listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.